Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me into your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God.
Colossians 2, 2 through 5. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how you disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is.
Hebrews 10:22-25. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
And our last scripture is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the freedom that we have in you, the freedom that we have to come and worship you in this place, the freedom that we have to read your word. Father, that we all have copies of your words. Even in this world today, there are many places that don't have your scriptures. And we have them at our fingertips, on our computer tops, in many different translations. Father, just help us to read your word, study your word, Father, to seek you out. And as your word says, that you will reveal yourself to us. Help us to know your plans and our part in your plans, Father, that you have commanded us to be a disciple and to go make disciples thereof. Help us to be the Christians that we need to be. Help us to realize the things that we are facing. And help us to realize how much that you truly love not only us, but the world. Enough that you gave your Son to die for each and every one. We thank you and praise you, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Discipleship. Well, to know about discipleship, you have to know what a disciple is, right? So this week I was trying to write a sermon. And you heard the key word there, I was trying to. Whenever I try to, it doesn't work well. And I kept thinking about something Steve said about a disciple and thought about what Jacob was talking about. And I'm glad Steve said what the name of your thing was going to be, because Jacob failed to. Rolling Disciple Foods. And I kept thinking about what it would mean to be a rolling disciple. How cool that was. Don't say I'm crying, because I'm going to cry. And to know that my son and my other son realize that, and that they're going to go out there into this world, not just go to church and become part of our church, but they're going to go out into the world telling others about Jesus Christ. Can you do it in your place of work, whether it's at the mill, whether it's at a motorcycle shop, whether it's at a food trailer? Yes, you can. You can proclaim Jesus Christ. You can proclaim him in your words, and you can surely proclaim him in your actions. And those two need to be consistent. Your life needs to show exactly what you preach and teach, so that others won't be confused, but that they will understand what you stand for, that you're committed, that you're fired up about Jesus Christ. Jesus picked 12 men to follow him, and he trained them up to be disciples, to take on his ministry after he left. And he empowered them with the Holy Spirit so that they could do the task set before them. And they didn't just go out and tell people about Jesus. They told people about Jesus and made disciples thereof. It's what they did. It's what they knew their calling was. So I contemplated on what it means to be a disciple. And I said, there is a lot more to being a disciple than just being a Christian, like the video says. A Christian, if you remember, the first use of the word Christian was in Antioch. It was in Acts 11:26. And when he found him, meaning when Barnabas found Saul, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So catch something there. The disciples were called Christians, not the Christians were called disciples. The apostles were making disciples, not making converts, but that people that realized that their part in this world was to fight a spiritual battle. And some people get offended when you say, we're soldiers. We don't like that analogy. We don't want it to be offensive. Jesus Christ was offensive. What do you think crucified him? But he taught the truth. He knew when to not face the challenge. And I'm not saying he didn't face it, but he knew. Like when he was facing the Pharisees, he said, my time has not yet come. So he didn't go and face battle with them right this second. He went to a different place. But if you remember back in John 4 when he did that, he didn't just go some different place. He went into Samaria, the heart of the people that were against the Jews. And he went there to find one woman to witness to. And revival happened as a result of her belief. And his disciples that he was training up didn't even realize the moment that was there in front of them. He was trying to teach them and they didn't even realize it. They thought that he needed food more than he needed to preach the gospel message. But he knew why he was here. He was here to reconcile the world back to God. Because that was God's plan. That's why Jesus came. To reconcile sinners back into a relationship with God. That's why we were created in the first place. God created us because he desired it. He created all this glorious world that we have, where we sit in the universe and everything else, so that we could see His righteousness and His glory. It was His will that we were to be in a relationship with Him. And if we're Christians, it is His will and His plans for us to follow Him, to be His ambassadors, to be His disciples. We are fighting a spiritual battle. Paul warns us about it, tells us how important it is. And how can we expect our youth? Sherry wasn't really a youth when she read the Bible verse. No offense, baby. But I didn't have another youth to read it. I wanted to get youth to read it so we can see that she's over 50, by the way, now, too. I'm still under 50, just so you know. She's still young in God's eyes, though. But I wanted us to see that we need to train up our youth and what it means. That we don't just say, hey, let's go to church and let's forget about it after that and live a life however. But that we need to train them up so that they know that Satan's out on the prowl every single day. And that their life is not their own. It is God's to bring Him glory and honor. And that they're called to spread the gospel message. Because if they're not doing it, they're not doing God's plan for their life. And they're missing out on so many blessings that God has in store for them. But if we don't show them with sincerity, if we don't teach them, if we don't train them up to be disciples, then how are they going to know? This verse says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So is a disciple a Christian? It's a close term. You have to be one to be the other. A Christian comes from the Greek word Christanos. It means a follower of Christ. We also see followers of Christ called believers, saints, or brothers in the New Testament. And each one might have a little different meaning, but still the same person that they're talking about. It was used only after Jesus. Jesus never called anyone a Christian. He called them believers, He called them followers, He called them disciples. And if you look through Matthew, and just start with Matthew and see the word disciple, most of the time it's used to call the 12. But then Jesus does say, if you want to be my disciple, because He tells people that you can't just be a fan. You have to decide if you're truly going to be committed and become a disciple and follow Jesus Christ with all your heart. Because that's what makes a difference. We don't need people just to sit and do nothing and say, we're disciples. A disciple goes. He teaches, preaches, baptizes, and trains up more disciples. That's what a disciple does. Biblically speaking, a Christian is someone who places their faith in Jesus Christ. A disciple is a committed follower, so there's a difference. We're born again. That makes us a Christian. Not by anything that we did, but because of everything that Jesus Christ did for us. Because God sent Him to this world to be the sacrifice for us. All we have to do is believe. It's not because of our righteousness, but because of Jesus' righteousness. And if we truly believe, we are born again. We are a Christian. We're born from above. We have the Holy Spirit residing in us all the time. We have nothing to fear because Jesus Christ has conquered death. We are empowered by the Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us, everything that we need. But a true Christian will adhere to Jesus' calling, which makes him a disciple. He realizes what his task is. He doesn't simply believe, but he's committed to action, to fighting a spiritual battle. Whether that sounds offensive or not, we've got to fight because Satan is out there prowling around, seeking whom he may devour. And he's been doing it from the beginning. He's going to do it until God puts an end to it once and for all.